All right, today's daf is Chulin Daf Ayin Beis. We are holding on Daf Ayin Aleph from Beis, where we'll start from Daf Ayin Aleph from Beis. I missed yesterday, but just to get us into it, to remind ourselves, the Mishnah Daf Ayin Aleph from Aleph tells us that if a woman is pregnant and the Vlad dies inside of her, and then the Chaya, the midwife, sticks her hand inside the woman and touches that Vlad, touches the dead fetus, so the Chaya is Tameya, the midwife is Tamei for 7 days as if she touched a mace, and the Isha is Tahora Achietzeh Vlad. The woman is going to be Tamei until the Vlad emerges. So Rabbah had a comment directly on the Mishnah right at the beginning of the Gemara. Kishem Shetuma Balua Eina Mitama, Kach Tara Balua Eina Mitama. That just like we know that Tuma Balua does not cause something else to become Tamei. Tuma Balua is not a Mitamei for other things. So too, that which is Tara Balua, that which is Tara, that's completely engulfed or enclosed in something, it's Eina Mitama, it doesn't become Tamei. So now, commenting on Rabbah, we're going to pick up about 8 lines from the bottom of the page, Amar Rava. So Amar Rava Travayu Tanini. So we already know both of those ideas. We already know from Mishnayos, both the idea of Tuma Balua not being Mitame, and Tara Balua not being Mitame, not becoming Tamei. Tuma Balua Tanina, we know Tuma Balua from the following. Tuma Balua Tanina, Tara Balua Tanina. Tuma Balua, where do I know Tuma Balua, the din that Tuma Balua is not Metame? Ditanan, because we have a Mishnah, Bala Taba'as Tameya. Let's say a person swallows a ring that's Tame. Tovel va'ochel b'trumaso, and then the person is tovel, goes to the mikvah and becomes tahar and eats truma. So all the while the ring is inside the person, the tamei ring is inside the person. Hikia tameo v'timaso, but once the person expels the ring from their body, so the ring is still tamei, even though the person went through a tahara process, the ring never did. So the ring is still tamei v'timaso and has the ability to be mitame the person, because it touched him on its way out. So from there you see that Tuma Balua, it was not Mitame the person while it was inside. It's only when it was on its way out, when it was no longer Balua, that it had the ability to be Mitame the person. So that's Tuma Balua. Tara Balua Tanina, we already also have a Mishnah that teaches us the halacha of Tara Balua, and that's the following, Tetnan. Bala Taba'as Tahora, if a person swallows a tahar ring, v'nichnas la'ol ha'meis, and then he goes into a room with a dead body, v'hiza v'shana v'taval v'hikia, harei k'mashaisa, and the person goes through the haza'a twice, that you need shlishi u'shvi'i, you need to have haza'as mechatas in order to become tahar, so the person goes through the entire Tara process and then expels the ring. Sarei kemashaisa. It's like it was before. It's tahar because the ring never became tame. So you see, bottom line, that Tara Balua is also not going to become tame, because as long as he swallowed the ring while he was still tahar, even though he subsequently became tame, it's not mitame the ring. Now it's interesting that the Gemara picks a case where he's mitahir himself before expelling the ring. I mean, the whole point is that the ring didn't become tamei from being inside of him while he was tamei. Why does it have to tell us that he was mitahir himself before expelling the ring? So Rashi points out, ulahachi nakat hizo v'shan v'tavol v'achar kach ikia dimikia kodim tvila nitma biyitzia b'maga'o. Because if he would have spit up the ring, thrown up the ring before he went through the Tara process, so he would become tamei from the ring on its way. The ring would become tamei from him on its way out through Tumas Maga, because the ring would on its way out would not only touch the areas of his body that are balua, it would touch areas of his body that are exposed, and those areas of his body certainly have the ability to transmit Tuma to the ring. So that's why Dafka wants to pick a case where the person became tahar before expelling the ring. But bottom line is, Rabbah came with this great chiddush right after the Mishnah that Tuma Balua is not Mitame and Tara Balua is not Mitame, and yet we see that these are often Mishnayos. So what's Rabbah teaching me? So answers the Gemara, Ki kama Rabbah, no, Rabbah's chiddush is the following case. Kigon shabala shtei taba'os. Let's say a person swallows two taba'os. Achas tameya, va'achas tahora. One of them is tamei and one of them is tahar. The chiddush is that even though they're both inside of his stomach at the same time, and it's likely that the tamei one and the tara one are touching each other, the tamei one still does not have the ability to be mitamei the tahor one. So that's the chiddush of Rabbah, that tuma balua and tara balua means even when they're both balua, both that which is being mitamei and that which is being mitamei are both balua, it doesn't have the ability. You might have thought that the whole idea of tuma balua is that which is galui can't affect that which is balua and vice versa. But if they're both balua, you might think that they can affect each other. So that's Rabbah's chiddush, that even in that case. So it says Rashi, ki kama Rabbah, di'imi masnisin diktani bala taba'as tumeya tova va'ochel, demashma lo mitami la'adam. Had it been from the Mishnah that spoke about swallowing a tame ring, that it does not have the ability to be mitame the person, hava amina taima lav mishum b'liyahu, el mishum demaga beis hastarim lav magahu le'inyan tuma. Says Rashi, the Havamina would have been that it's not because Balua doesn't have the ability to be Metame that the person is Tar in that case. It's for a different reason, and that is that Maga Beis Hastarim, anything that touches a person in a Beis Hastarim, is ineffectual, does not affect Tuma. So says Rashi, but wait a second, shouldn't there still be another reason that the person should become Tamei? If he has a Tamei ring inside of his body, so granted it's touching him, and therefore that's not going to be able to affect Tuma. Plus, Balua, Lamaskan, we say it's Balua anyway, so it's not going to be able to affect Tuma. What about the fact that the person is carrying something that's tameh? So it should be tameh b'masa. So he says, no, she'ein masa elo l'misha tuma yotza mimenu. He says, tumas masa does not necessarily apply to anything that has a severe level of tuma. Meaning, don't think that tumas masa is dependent on the severity of the tuma. Meaning, even though we know that if you carry a nevela even without touching it, you become tameh, that's tumas masa. How do you carry something without touching it? You carry, let's say, a nevela in a bag, so you're holding the bag and you're carrying the nevela, but you're not touching it, you become tameh with tumas masa. That is not a function of the fact that nevela is a high level of tuma. Because let's say you have a ring that touched a dead body, that ring is certainly a very high level of tuma. Yet it still would not cause tumas masa. Because the only time we say tumas masa is when it's not just a high level of tuma, but when it's the original tuma, when it's the original source of tuma. Kigon, mace, unevela, umayanos hazav. When you're talking about a dead body, when you're talking about a nevela, when you talk about the mayanos hazav, the liquids that come out of a zav, aval tamei meis, afal pishu ava tuma in lomasa. That which becomes tamei from a dead body, it's a very high level tuma. It's just as tamei is a nevela. It's an ava tuma. But it's not metame b'masa. So that's the very critical difference. That which is tuma yotze lav migufo versus that which is not tuma yotze lav migufo. That's important to categorize. Sometimes one might get the impression that, say, Zav himself. So how do you categorize a Zav? The halach is that a Zav is also metame b'masa. So how do you categorize a Zav? How can a Zav be called tuma yotze lav migufo? Isn't he only tame from the liquid that comes out of him? So the halach is no, that the zav does not become tame because he touched the liquid that comes out of him. The zav becomes tame because when that ziva comes out of him, he becomes a zav. He's considered the original tuma. It's not that he became tame only from that which emerged from him. Okay, but either way, the Gemara tells us that that's the great chiddush of Rabbah that we don't already know from the Mishnah, that if both items are balua, that they're not metame each other. So, frank the Gemara, we don't know it from the Mishnah. Wait a second, not just we don't know from Mishnah, we have a Mishnah that's against that though. Is that halacha really true? What about our Mishnah, where you have the Uber and the Chaya, you have the fetus and you have the midwife, they are both considered, they should be the comparable to the case of two rings, because where the midwife is touching the fetus is completely balua, and nevertheless our Mishnah says that the midwife becomes tamei from the ubar. So how can you say that two rings that are both balua, that they don't affect each other in terms of tuma? So Amar Rabba, shiny ubar hol v'sofalotzes. Rabba says, no, big difference. An ubar is sofalotzes. It's meant to eventually come out, and therefore it's not considered completely balua. Samar Rava, ubar sofalotzes, tabas ein sofalotzes. You ever swallow a ring, it also eventually comes out. Many times I've been to the hospital with children who've swallowed various items, pennies and magnets and variety of different items. So the natural process is that it hopefully is that it goes through the digestive tract and eventually it comes out. So it comes right out. So how can you say that by the case of the ubar, it's considered that it's not balua because it's destined to come out, but by the case of the rings, it's considered balua and therefore it's not going to be matame each other because it's not destined to come out, it's also destined to come out. Ella Amar Rava Pumbadisai Yadi Taimi Dahamilsa. So Rava says, the Pumbadisai, the guy from Pumbadisa, he's the one that knows the explanation over here. Umanu Rav Yosef, and we're referring to Rav Yosef. Dam Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yidom Shmuel. Now the real answer is that when it comes to the midwife and the fetus, the midwife doesn't really become tamei from the fetus midaraisa. The tuma that the midwife has from the fetus is purely a tuma midrabanan. But on a daraisa level, they're both balua, and Rabbah is correct. Two things that are balua cannot be mitame each other. So my einu midivrei Torah and midivrei sofrim. Very strange question. What do you mean? What's my means that it's not midaraisa, it's only midrabanan. So Rashi explains that what we're asking is lamali lemeimar kule hai lema tumazu divrei sofrim. In general, if you want to speak normally, the way you would say it is that this tuma is a tuma drabanan. Why do you have to highlight this tuma is not a tuma daraisa, rather it's a tuma midrabanan? What do you mean? Just say that it's not a tuma midaraisa, that it's a tuma drabanan. Why do you have to first highlight that it's not a tuma midaraisa? So Gemara says, "De lo tema alibed Rabbi Akiva damar uber b'mei isha tamei, ela fil Rabbi Yishmael damar uber b'mei isha tahar." That it's dafka pointing to a machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Apparently Rabbi Akiva holds that a fetus inside its mother, a dead fetus inside its mother, is already tamei and metame. It's already considered fully tamei. So you might think that our Mishnah, where it talks about the fetus being metame, the midwife, only works with Rabbi Akiva. So we're saying, no, don't say that our Mishnah has to be talking about a tuma d'oraisa like Rabbi Akiva. Even if you're like Rabbi Shmuel, that a fetus is not metame midaraisa, but still midrabanan, the fetus would still have tuma. But that's the tuma that the Gemara is referring, that the Mishnah is referring to. My taima, why would Rabbanan make a tuma midrabanan on the fetus? In this case, Amaravoshia gzera shamiyotzi vlad rosho chutzl prosder. They made a tuma midrabanan on the fetus because they were concerned that maybe in the birthing process, the fetus would stick its head out, would have its head come out chutzl prosder, and therefore it would definitely be mitameh, and the chaya wouldn't realize it, the midwife wouldn't realize it, and she would be touching it. So we say, you know what, even if it didn't stick its head out, the chaya is going to become tameh from the fetus. It's a gzera midrabanan, lest the fetus stick its head out, at which point it's definitely tameh, because then it's already yatzala avir ha'olam. So, frak the Gemara, if that's the concern, ihachi ishanami, shouldn't we be concerned about the woman who's giving birth also? If the fetus stuck its head out, it's metame the woman also. Why did the Mishnah say that the midwife becomes tameh, but the woman who's giving birth does not become tamei? So the answer is Mari Isha Margeshas Ba'atzma. Now the woman would know if the fetus stuck its head out. She's the one giving birth. She would feel it if the baby stuck its head out. So we don't have to make any gzeira that even if the baby didn't stick its head out, that the mother's going to be tamei, lest she didn't realize that it stuck its head out. No, she would realize if it did. So frankly, Mari, well, if she would realize, all you need is communication. Let her tell the midwife, hey, don't touch the baby now, or if you're going to touch it, you should know you're becoming tamei. But let her just tell her that the baby stuck its head out. So Gemara answers one word, Terida. She's pretty busy. She's not really in the mood to talk to the Chaya about the intricacies of the halachos of Tum and Tara when she's in the middle of a very difficult labor. So since she's busy with her labor, she's not going to always tell the Chaya, and therefore they needed to make a din d'rabbanan on the Chaya. A couple of points over here. First of all, the Gemara had originally suggested, Rabbah had originally suggested that there's a fundamental difference between an ubar and a tabaas, a swallowed ring and a fetus. And that is that the fetus eventually will come out, but not the swallowed ring. The swallowed ring is not destined to come out. So the Gemara had the obvious response. Rava said, what are you talking about? Of course a swallowed ring is destined to come out. When you swallow something, eventually it comes out. So the kasha is that Rava's kasha is so good. What in the world was Rava's havamina? What was his chilek? How was he able to possibly be mechalek between the ubar and the tabaas? So the Balach over here, he quotes from the Binyan Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Simen Samach Gimel, that who brings from his own son-in-law, based on the Levush in Yardea Simen Mem, quoted by the Taz and Sivkot and Beis, and Simen Mem Sivkot and Beis in Yardea, that there's a Chelek in Hilchos Trefos between Trefos and a Meskadish Begufo, where we say kala omid linkov kinakov dami, meaning a trefa that comes as a result of just an ailment that the animal suffers from, not any external stimuli. The animal's diseased. So any trefa that comes from just the animal being diseased, we would say such a klal that kala omid linakev kinakov dami. Anything that will eventually cause a hole in the animal's lung, let's say, or the animal's heart, is really, I think, the topic under discussion. It's as if it's suffering from that disease that causes holes in the heart, it's as if the hole is already in the heart. But, says the Taz in the name of the Levush, when the hole is going to come from the outside, like a machat, like a needle is going to cause the hole, it's not a disease that's going to cause the hole, then we don't say kolom idli nakev. Even though that needle may be on a course whereby it's going to eventually pierce something, puncture something that will make the animal a trefa, but until it actually punctures it, we don't assume that the animal is a trefa. So that's the svara of the Taz in the name of the Levush. So says the Binyan Shlomo, maybe that's exactly the svara of Rabba between an ubar and a tabas. That an ubar is omid latzes, and a tabas is also omid latzes, but they're a very different kind of omid latzes. An ubar is omid latzes miteva haguf. It's a natural bodily process. Then that's where we say kala omid latzes kiyatza dami. But a tabas, which is something that's an external thing, it never belonged in the body in the first place. It was a foreign substance that somehow accidentally ended up in the body. So granted, it is omid latzes, but we don't call that omid latzes because it's not omid latzes miteva haguf. Meaning the same svara, the Levush and the Taz, by the Machat, they want to say, is the svara of Rabbah when it comes to the difference between an ubar and a tabas. And what about Rava? Rava responds, what are you talking about? The tabas is also omid latzes. So Rava would hold like the Beis Yosef and the Ramah in Yardea Simen Mem Sif Gimel, that even by a Machat, we would say, kol omid linakev kinakov dami. That even when it's a foreign substance, we would still say that same svara of that which is going to cause a hole. It's as if it has already caused the hole. So the Binyan Shlomo with Harifa says that machlokas achronim between the Levush and the Ramah is the machlokas Rabbah and Rava, at least in the same type of svara. Doesn't necessarily mean that the two machlokasim are 100% tali zebzeh. You could argue that in Hilchas Trefus it's different than in Hilchas Tumah, but the same svara of the chilik between bodily functions versus that which is external. Now, just in terms of pshat in the Gemara, when the Gemara then went on to say that the Tumah in our Mishnah is Eina Midivri Torah Elo Midivri Sofrim, that it's lo tema, that it's going like that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, rather it's going like Rabbi Shmuel. There are five or six different pshatim in the Rishonim of how to read those couple of lines in the Gemara. The Shita of Rashi is, we'll just go through a few of them. The Shita of Rashi is that according to Rabbi Akiva, Tumah Belua is metame. And therefore, even though an ubar is balua in its mother, it's metame the chaya, it's metame the midwife, when the midwife touches it. That's Rabbi Akiva's shita. When the Mishnah says that the woman, that the mother is not tame, that's because of a different reason, says Rashi. That's because, it's not because of balua. Tuma balua is metame. It's because it's only touching the mother in the Beis Hastarim. And something can only be, and a person can only become tame when the tuma contacts the person outside, in a galui part of the body. As we've described many times, there are three basic zones in a person's body in regards to tuma. There's what we call galui, there's Beis Hastarim, and there's balua. Galui means the parts of the body that are always exposed to the outside, the whole outside surface of the body. Beis Hastarim are those parts of the body that are sometimes concealed and sometimes revealed. For instance, the eyes. You close your eyes and the eyes are not revealed to the outside. Or the top of the eyelids, which have the exact opposite of when the eyes are galui, is when the eyelids are covered. When the eyes are covered, the eyelids are galui. The armpits, the various parts of a person's body, the inside of a person's mouth, the bottom part of a person's nose, certain parts of the ear, various parts of a person's body that are sometimes visible, sometimes not, that's all called Beis Hastarim. And then you have the part that's called balua, which is completely inside the person. So for instance, when it comes to Hilchas Tevila, when a person goes to a mikvah, so the halacha is that every part that's galui needs to touch water actually. It needs to have an actual bias mayim, where water touches every single part of a person's body that's galui. Can't have any chatzitza on those parts, and it has to actually, the water actually has to hit it. Parts of the body that are balua, water doesn't have to touch it at all. You don't have to make sure that you flush your kidneys with water and your small intestines with water. Any part that's inside your body, the water obviously doesn't have to touch at all. Parts, and the same is true, by the way, with tefillas kelim. Parts that are beis hastarim, that are sometimes exposed, sometimes not exposed, the water doesn't have to touch, but it's not allowed to have a chatzitza. It needs to be ra'ui l'bias mayim. That's why when a woman goes to the mikvah, she does not need to open her mouth, but she does need to brush her teeth and make sure that her teeth are clean, that there's nothing stuck in between her teeth when she goes to the mikvah. She's not opening up her mouth anyway. No, the mouth is a beis hastarim, so you can't have any chatzitza there, but you can't have any chatzitza there, but the water doesn't actually have to go there. So when it comes to the ability to be metame, so a person does not become tame when it's maga beis hastarim, when something touches them in the beis hastarim. So says Rashi, Rabbi Akiva's shita is, and the way Rabbi Akiva could be read into our Mishnah is as follows: that tuma balua definitely has the ability to be metame. When something that is tame is in a balua area, it still has the ability to be metame. Elamai, it can only be mitame something when it touches that something in a part of it that's not balua, that's not a beis hastarim. So if it's when it's the chaya, it's touching the chaya's hand. The chaya's sticking her hand inside. So even though it's tuma balua, it's mitame the chaya's hand. But the mother, it's only inside of the mother's womb. So it's not going to be mitame the isha. That's how Rashi understands, and that's what the Gemara says. That don't think that the Mishnah is going only like Rabbi Akiva, where you could clearly and easily explain why the woman is tahar and the chaya is tamei, because by the isha it's tumas beis astar and by the chaya it's her hand, and that's why she'll be tamei. But says the Gemara, the Mishnah is going even like Rabbi Yishmael, that tumah balua does not have the ability to be metame at all, and still the chaya is going to become tamei. Why? Tumah midrabanan, the chaya will become tamei midrabanan. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Now, according to Rashi, the Rishonim ask on Rashi, the Ramban points out, why does Rabbi Yishmael need to learn from a pasuk that the uber is not metame b'mei imo, since it's tumah balua is ena metame? It's pasha that it's not metame b'mei imo. So the Ramban says that the whole limud of tumah balua ena metame is learned from tumas nevela, and Rabbi Yishmael darshens from the pasuk that the same would be true by tumas meis, that it's not metame shum tumah balua, that we cannot learn tumas nevela from tumas meis. So that's why you need a separate pasuk. Ramban also points out that by an uber you need a special pasuk that it's that it's tuma blua, because if you didn't have the pasuk, you would have thought that the ubar is not considered blua, because it's a natural part, as we said before, it's natural for the ubar to grow inside of the mother. And the Gemara has such a svar in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches that Hainu Rabisei, the Gemara discussing tevila of a woman, that when she's megayer, that the tevila's ola, the tevila works even for the fetus inside of her. But the fetus is all the way inside, no water is touching the fetus. So the Gemara says the svara Hainu Rabisei, but that's the at that point in the baby's development, it needs its mother around it, completely surrounding it. So therefore, it's the tevila works; it counts for it anyway. So says Ramban, you might have thought that it's not called balua, because Hainu Rabisei, because that's the natural process, the natural growth of the baby, where the baby still needs its mother as the baby develops. So that's why Rabbi Shmuel needs to specially darshan that the idea of tuma balua applies not only by nevela but even by a fetus as well. And that's all how Rashi understands the Gemara. Well, Tosfos, however, understands differently. Tosfos, in Dibur HaMaskel Gzeira, we'll summarize what Tosfos says, holds that everyone would agree that Tumah Blua is Eina Metama. That this is not a Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, where Rabbi Akiva holds Tumah Blua is Metame, and Rabbi Akiva... Now, everyone agrees Tumah Blua is not Metame. If Rabbi Akiva held Tumah Blua or Metame, so it wouldn't make any sense why the Isha would be Tahora. Because even though it's maga based hastarim, but still she should be tamei mishum tumas masa. Then she should be tamei from holding a dead body inside of her. So forget about maga. You're right. Maga based hastarim can't be mitamei the isha. That was Rashi's whole point. But still, the mother should still be tamei mishum tumas masa. So what's the real machlokas then between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Kiva's moda that tuma b'lua is not mitamei. The whole machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is dafka when the uber stuck its hand out. That's, he's adding a detail that the Gemara doesn't say. That according to Rabbi Akiva, if you touch an ubar who stuck its hand out, you become tamei because it's no longer tumah balua. It's no longer completely inside. The ubar's hand is sticking out. Rabbi Shmuel says it's tar even though you touched the ubar when his hand was outside, because he holds that it's a gzeres hakasuv that the ubar does not become tamei until it's born, until it's yatzala avir olam, and sticking a hand out doesn't make it born. So according to that, Rabbi Akiva would explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Akiva would be that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the ubar did not stick its hand out, and that's why the mother is not tamei. Why is the midwife tamei? She's tamei midrabanan, meaning even Rabbi Akiva would say that the midwife is only tamei midrabanan because of gzeira shema yotzi ever lachutz, lest the uber stick a hand out. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, the mother is tahar even if the uber stuck its hand out, and that which the chayah is tamei is because of gzeira shema yotzi rosha lachutz, lest the baby stick its head outside the mother's body. And that's how Rabbi Shmuel could fit the Mishnah as well. Rabbi Shmuel could be speaking could say the case of the Mishnah is when the Ubar did stick its hand out, and Rabbi Akiva would say that the case of the Mishnah is Dafka if the Ubar did not stick its hand out. That is the way Tosfos understands. Okay, there are several other explanations as well, but time constraints. So let's see Vayter. So says the Gemara Vayter, my Rabbi Shmuel, my Rabbi Akiva, where do we find this machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Titanya, because we have a Brisa, Bikolash or Yigal Panei Asada. The Brisa says the Pasuk talks about the idea of becoming Tamei from a dead body. So it says, Kol asher yigal pnei asada b'chalal cherev o b'meis, o b'etzem adam o b'kever, yitma shivas yamim. That if you touch a dead body on the face of a field, you become tamei for 7 days. What are we telling? What's the pasuk teaching me by saying al pnei asada? So lahotzi uber meisha div Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, yeah, it has to be out in the open. That which you touch, that dead body that you touch, if it's going to be metame you, it has to be out in the open, as opposed to a fetus which is not out in the open and therefore does not have the ability to be metame you. Rabbi Kiva omer l'rabbos gol v'dofik. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's not coming to be mema'it anything. It's coming to be marb. It's coming to include another case that anything that's out, exposed in the field, associated with the dead body, is able to be metame you to meshiva, even if you don't touch the dead body itself. You only touch the gol v'dofik, which is major machlokas Rashi and Tosfos Maseches Ksuvos Daf daf dalid amid beis whether goal of the, what goal of the dafik exactly is. So it's either different parts of the coffin itself, the side walls of the coffin and the top of the coffin. It might even mean the stone that they put on top of the coffin. Tosos suggests, and he has it with many rayas from all over Shas. But whatever it is, different parts of a coffin or a stone that are associated with the dead body, that are put near the dead body. So there's a din that it's metame a person like a mace. It's metame a person tumas shiva. And what Rabbi Akiva is suggesting is that tumah is a Tumah Midaoraisa. Now the Rabbah's goal of the Dofek, it's learnt out from the Pasuk, it's a real bona fide Tumah Midaoraisa. Rabbi Shmuel, the goal of the Dofek, also Gemirila. And Rabbi Shmuel would say the goal of the Dofek is only a halach l'moshe v'sinai. It's not learnt out from, so it would still be Daoraisa, but it's not learnt out from a Pasuk. Rabbi Akiva, uber me'isha tam midaraisa minalei. So grant us, now that Rabbi Akiva is going to use that Pasuk to teach me goal of the Dofek is mitamei, how does he know that an uber me'isha is tam midaraisa? So the question is a strange question, because the uber me'isha is a dead body. Rabbi Shmuel needed a pasuk to tell me that even though it's a dead body, it's not metame like a dead body, because it's not al pnei asada. What Rabbi Akiva uses al pnei asada to teach me something else. So since he uses al pnei asada to teach me something else, meaning the question is, what's the default position? What would we assume without any special drushes? Would we assume that the uber is metame, or would we assume that the uber is not metame? From the fact that Rabbi Shmuel says, oh, the pasuk is coming to teach me that the uber is not metame, indicates that the default position is that the uber should be metame. Well, then how could the Gemara ask, where does Rabbi Akiva know that the uber should be metame from? What do you mean, where does he know it from? That's the default position. That's what we were assuming the whole time. So Rashi is obviously bothered by this, and Rashi writes, midaraisa minale detame, delo mitairele mimashmu use dal pnei asada, vafilu lo miyaser. So Rashi says, even without any drasha from the pasuk, the pashut mashmaos of the pasuk should have taught us that the uber is not metame, because al pnei asada, just pashut pshat, translating the words, forget about drashas and ribuyim, just al pnei asada, pashut translation of the words is only things that are exposed, only things that are out there in the world are metame, and therefore the uber should not be metame. Of course, what Rashi doesn't address is, then why does Rabbi Shmuel need a drasha? If it's pshat and pasuk that an uber is not metame, why does Rabbi Shmuel need to say that it's a drasha? So anyway, but that's the Gemara's kasha, that according to Rabbi Akiva, how does Rabbi Akiva know that an uber me'isha is metame, and he doesn't just learn from the pshat and the pasuk of al pnei asada that it's not metame? Some Raboshi Amakrai, he has a different pasuk. Pasuk says hanogea b'meis b'nefesh. Someone touches a meis b'nefesh. Ezu meisha benefesh al adam. What is a mace that is inside a nefesh al adam? Haviyomer is a uber shemeisha. Where do you ever have a dead body inside another soul? So you have it by an uber b'meisha. Rabbi Shmuel, haimi by leil revius dam habam in a meisha metame. Rabbi Shmuel would say, no, that pasuk is needed to teach me that a revius dam that comes from a dead body is metame just like a dead body itself. Shenemar anogea b'meis b'nefesh al adam. Ezu nefesh al adam shemetame. What's the? You could tell me a dead body is metame, but a dead nefesh? What does that mean? What's a nefesh that's metame? So Aviomer zu revius dam ki adamu a nefesh. Right, the dam is the nefesh. So revius dam that comes from a dead body is metame. Rabbi Akiva l'tame, and this is Rabbi Akiva l'shitaso. Damer af revius dam abami shnei mesim metame ba'ol. Rabbi Akiva says that even a revius dam that comes from two separate dead bodies is going to be metame ba'ol. D'tanya Rabbi Akiva omer minayin revius dam abot, meaning let's say you have a half a revius, a shminis of dam from one dead body and a shminis of dam from another dead body. So together it makes up a revius, but it's not of one dead body. So Rabbi Akiva says, how do I know that a revius dam abami shnei mesim shem metame ba'ol? That even though it's from two separate nefashos, single shear is metame. What's the svara? Is there any svara? It's just based on psukim. So svara might be, one might have thought, at least, that from shtei nefashos, from two separate dead bodies, should not be metame, because one might have said that why is it that let's say an aver minames is metame? So one could argue, well, why is it that the majority of the makeup of a person's bones are metame? That Rosh of Ruba of a person's bones are metame. Rov Binyan of a person's bones are metame. So one could easily say, well, that's very understandable. Because how do you draw the line of what's a dead body? Does a dead body have to be completely shalem in order to be a dead body? Let's say a dead body is missing a fingertip. So you can say it's not a dead body anymore. So you draw the line as something that's representative of the entire body, of the entire person. So that's defined as a dead body. So that's why the majority of a person's bones, Rosh of Rov Minyan or Rov Binyan of a person's bones in the time, because that represents the entire person. That's considered a significant enough amount of the dead body that it represents the entire person. So one could have very clearly argued, well, wait a second, you can say Ravi is dam from two mesim. Well, it's only a Sheminas dam from this mace, Sheminas dam from the other mace. Which dead person is it a significant enough portion of to actually represent? So if dam were tamei, if dam and a mace were tamei, based on the fact that it's a representative portion of the person, then dam and a mace should only be tamei if all the dam comes from the same mace. But if it comes from two separate mesim, it should not be tameh. So what Rabbi Akiva is teaching us is that according to the way he darshans the psukim, the reason Ravi is tam is metameh is not because it represents a person. Ravi is tam is metameh on its own. Just a certain amount of blood from dead bodies on its own is enough to be metameh. There is a Tosos in Masech Zuma, Daf Pei Aleph, where Tosos says that Rabbi Akiva must be talking about a Ravi is tam that comes from two nefels, where each one didn't have a Ravi is to even be good. To begin with, there wasn't that much blood to begin with inside the nephel. But he says shnei mesim, to two actual dead bodies, and each one has more than a revius, and you take a chatzi revius from each of them, then it's a davar pashut that would be metame. So that may fit along the lines of what we're saying. That maybe you could say that a revius dam is significant enough to make whatever portion of that revius comes from, meaning as long as a portion of that revius comes from a body that had a significant amount of blood, so then the blood that is a representative of the entire body. But when it comes from a nephel which didn't even have a revius, that's where you need a major chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so let's see the Gemara Vayter now. So new Mishnah. Behema makasha leila. If an animal is going through a difficult labor, v'hotzi ubaris yado, and the ubar sticks out its hand, v'chatcha, and they cut off the hand, v'achar kach shachet asimo, and then they shech the mother. So habasar tahar, the rest of the fetus, not the hand, the rest of the fetus is tahar. Shachet asimo v'achar kach hatacha, but let's say they shech the mother, and then they cut off the hand, habasar maga nevela divra meir. Remeir holds that the basar is maga nevela, that the fetus inside, it says, it's tame as if it touched a nevela, because the hand that was sticking outside had a din of a nevela. Why did the hand that was sticking outside have a din of a nevela? So Rashi gives two pshatim why it had a din of a nevela. Either because it was Eivor Min HaChai, and the halacha is that Eivor Min HaChai is metame like a nevela, or if the Uber came out dead, it's a nevela gemura. The Eivor itself would never became mutar b'shchita, with the shchita of the mother. So the Eivor itself is a nevela. And therefore, the rest of the fetus that's touching that Eivor is nevela. So that's maga, is touching a nevela. So that's maga nevela. That's Rameir Shita. The Chum omrim maga trefa shchuta. The Chum say, no. It's as if it's touching shechta trefa. Shchita, even though, if you do shchita on a trefa animal, even though it's not going to be matirit to eat because it's a trefa animal, but at least it's not a nevela. It doesn't have tumas nevela. So he says the same thing over here with the fetus that sticks its hand out. The hand that's sticking out is not, the shchita of the mother is not going to make the hand that's sticking out kosher to eat, but at least it will take away the tumas nevela from it. So the only tumah it has is the tumah of a trefa that's shechted. So mamatzinu betrefa sheshchitas mitarasa. So we say a simple mamatzinu, just like by a trefa. Shchita is mitarit in the sense that it stops it from becoming a nevela. So af shchitas behema titaris eiver, so too shchita of a behema will be metar the eiver of the uber that's sticking out, at least in the sense it won't become a nevela, it will be just like a trefa. So amar lahem Rav Meir, lo, im tiara shchitas trefa osa dover shegufa titaris eiver dover she she'enu gufa, if the shechitas treifa is going to be mitayr the animal from being a nevela, because that's, it's a dover shagufa, it's mitayr itself, you're shechting the treifa animal, the treifa is not going to be a nevela anymore, because it is having a shechita. Can you compare that to shechting a mother, where the limb that's sticking out from the fetus, the limb of the fetus that's sticking out of sticking out of the mother, that's also going to be metairit midei nevela? It's not even davar shagufa. It's not even part of the mother's body. When you're shechting a treifa animal, so you're shechting the body of the treifa animal. So the treifa animal is not going to become a nevela. But this limb is not part of the mother's body. So how can you say necessarily that that's going to save it from the So minayin l'treifa sheshchita. So that's why they disagree. That's why Rameir disagrees with the Chachamim. So minayin l'treifa sheshchita mitaharasa. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. How do we know this? What everyone seemed to agree on, though, is that if you shecht a treifa animal, that it's not going to have tumas nevela. That it's not like an animal that dies on its own. So where do we know that from? So behema tmeya asura ba'achila. Because we know non-kosher animals, a chazal, let's say, is asur to eat, and a treifa is asur to eat. An animal that has a hole in its lung is asur to eat. Ma behema tmeya ain shechita mitar rasa. So Gemara says, I could have argued the exact opposite of what we're assuming. That just like behema tmeya, when you shech the behema tmeya, the shechita does not take away the nevela status. It will still be tamei b'tumas nevela. So af treifa lo tatarena shechita. So treifa also, shechita should not take away the tumas status. It should still be tamei as tumas nevela. So there's one long question. We made an assumption that when you shech the treifa animal, at least the carcass isn't a nevela. It's not going to be mitame like a nevela. So where does that assumption come from? I would compare treifa to behema tameya. Behema tameya, you do a shechita, the carcass is still considered a nevela, even though you did a perfectly good shechita on it. So say the same thing by a treifa. Says the Mishnah Lo. Imarti bebehema tameya. Shelo hoysala shasa kosher. Tomer betreifa shoysala shasa kosher. Can't compare to behema tameya to a treifa. Behema tameya was never kosher. A treifa, before it got ill, before the hole developed in its lung, was kosher. So a treifa maybe is privileged to be able to have a shechita take away its nevela status, but a behemah tameya isn't, because a behemah tameya was always bad to begin with. So says Gemara, that's a bad, the Mishnah argues back, that's a bad argument. Take back that argument, because Harisha knows the treifa min abet and minayin. Then you would have to distinguish, and you'd have to say that if the animal was born as a treifa, was born diseased, that the shechita should not be mitarit from nevela. So how do you know that the shechita is mitarit from nevela in that case? Says Gemara, lo mamarta bebehemah tameya shekein ein b'mina shechita. Tomer b'treifa sheyish b'mina shechita. Now the real chiluk between behemah tameya and treifa is as follows: by behemah tameya, none of its min can ever become mutar al yidei shechita. By a treifa, you have a cow that has a hole in its lung. Most other of its min can become tahar al yidei shechita, and therefore, even this cow, even though it is a treifa, since its min in general shechita works to take away the nevela status, so the shechita will work to take away the nevela status over here as well. But in Shmona Chai, ein shechita sumitaraso lufishein b'mino shechita. If an animal was born prematurely in its eighth month, so just the shechita is not going to be mitarit, because there is no such thing as such an animal that is able to go through normal shechita, because it's considered to be that it's for sure going to die. So says the Gemara, Amai tumas beis hastarim hiva tumas beis hastarim lo matamya. So why does Rabbi Meir hold that the buser of the ubar is tamei? I mean, what do we say? That the eva that's sticking out somehow is metamei the buser of the ubar that's inside the animal. So why do we say it's tamei? Where's the eva touching the rest of the animal? So it's the same place where my hand is touching my forearm. It's touching where it's connected. It's in the connected spot, that's not exposed, that's in base of starm. It's beneath the level of the skin. On the skin level side, it's beneath the level of skin that it's touching. So it's tumas base of starim. But tumas base of starim lo matamya. So lemel ramer l'tamei. Maybe we should say this ramer l'shitaso. Titnan, because we have a mishnah when it comes to tumen tarim, when it comes to tum of a beged. Shlosha al shlosha shenechlak. If you have a beged that's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, which is the minimum size that you need for tumas midras, for zava nida putting their weight on it to make it tamei tumas medras. So if you have a beged that shlosha shlosha tefachim that then gets split up, tar min ha medras, it's tar from tumas medras, Aval tamei magav medrus, but it's tamei as if it touched a medrus. Divra meir, it's from meir shita. What do you mean it's tamei as if it touched? Where did it touch the medrus? Elamai, when it was still connected, even though the fibers that were connecting it were underneath the surface, still it's enough to be metamei. V'tanya Rabbi Yosi v'chibe eza medrus nagazeh. Rabbi Yosi says, what are you talking about? Where did it ever touch? Elishim nagav ozav she'e tamei magazav. No, if a zav touched, you could say it's tamei from a magazav, but not from maga medrus, from touching a medrus. So lavit marala amar ula lo shano shlosh al shlosh shnechlak avol shlosh al shlosh shlosh habos mi beger gadol b'shas prishas mei avir mekabel stuma. That's only when it's a beggar of three tefachim by three tefachim that becomes smaller. But let's say it was a humongous beggar and you cut off a tiny piece that's 3 by 3 etzbaos. It's still mekabel tuma mei avir. But hanami, why? Why is it mekabel tuma? Because as it's being pulled apart, it's the fibers are still touching. The fibers that are already ripped are still touching in the place where they used to be connected, and that's not in Beis Hastarim. So Hanam, you can say the same thing over here, that we're not dafka going like Reb Meir, but b'shas prishasun me'ever mekabel tuma me'ever, that at the time that it's being separated from the aver, when you cut off that hand that's sticking out, as you're cutting it off, the parts that used to be connected are barely touching each other, but the fact that they're touching each other, that's where the tuma passes from the aver to the rest of the fetus. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll pick up from there.